In your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And today we're ready for verse 24. After telling us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, we could really take off with that verse, couldn't we?
Amen.
Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's that say about the life I live? What's that say about the life you live? Do we really realize that we're new man? That's what this has been, this whole chapter has been dealing with. We're new man. And this new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what's that say about all our ungodly works that we do, and ungodly thoughts and ungodly words? Just for clarification, and then he'll deal with it later on in this chapter 2. Those words are not just the bad words that we think of as bad words, you know. Anytime we talk to somebody in a manner that we ought not to be talking, in a voice that we ought not to be talking to them, that's bad language. Anytime that we don't talk to them in love and compassion, tenderness, that's bad language.
You see?
Well, that's not our message today. We've been created in Christ Jesus. So we're not to live as other Gentiles, as the unsaved, in the vanity of the mind and having a darkened understanding, the blindness of their heart, and given over to lasciviousness to work all the deeds of the flesh. We've put off at the time of salvation, at the time of that new creation, that being created in Christ Jesus, we put off those former works. Those works which were as other Gentiles, which were what was common to us at the time before salvation. We put them off. And we've been renewed and are to be being renewed new daily, as we saw last week, in the spirit of our mind. And now while we have the new man dwelling in us, we're to put on the new man. What's that mean? Well, if we have the new man living in us, what does it mean to put on the new man? We're dealing about our manner of life. It's dealing with our behavior. And not just while we're here at church.
Yes, amen.
So to speak. You see, if that's all we have, if the righteousness which we have when we're at church, we don't have righteousness. We are to put on that which is new. After which the new heart, the new man which is created in us, that is to be having such an effect upon our life that it spills out into our behavior, into the thoughts I think, into the words I speak, into the things that I do. It is, what is new is everything that is opposed to our past life before we were saved. Look with me in the book, to the book of Isaiah. And you say, well, what are you going to the Old Testament for that? And it's Isaiah. Well, Isaiah knew about, a lot about salvation. He knew a lot about salvation as it is in Christ Jesus. In fact, actually, from chapter 40 of Isaiah on through the end of the chapter on through the end of the book, through chapter 66, that's what he's dealing with. But in chapter 43, we read this in verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Don't remember them. Don't remember your manner of life from the past, and don't even give consideration to those things. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old, the things which ye used to do, that old life. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's making a new life out of us. He's made a new creature out of us. And from that new creature, that new life he's sprung forth, there are to be rivers of life flowing forth from it. Well, what's that talking about? It's talking about our life. Even though we're yet dwelling in this tabernacle of clay, as he said, in the wilderness. We're dwelling in this wilderness. There's going to be rivers flowing forth in the wilderness. Now, have we really experienced the working power of God? That's what Isaiah says God's creating in us. God's intervention on our behalf has been so great and has been so wonderful and is so blessed. And do we realize that there's yet greater? Manifestations of His power before us. Greater. We like to talk about heaven and sometimes we like to stop and consider heaven and how glorious it's going to be. Well, just how glorious is it going to be? I don't know the fullness of it. It's unimaginable. When you tell me that I'm going to be delivered from the presence of sin and delivered from sin in this body,
I can only imagine what that is. Because I deal with that daily.
And I can't imagine life not having to deal with that. Can you, brother? But you know it's going to be glorious, don't you? Wow. Not have that battle, that struggle any longer. Praise God.
So we should not be drawn to the former behavior. That's basically what Isaiah said there in the 43rd chapter. Remember not the things, former things. Consider not the things of old. Don't even consider them. You see the progression there? If I remember them, I'm liable to stop and consider them. And this flesh is weak. If I stop to consider them, well, I might run after it for a time. That'd not be good. You see? He's created a new thing. And there's to be rivers flowing in this wilderness. You see, from this new thing which he's created.
And so, and we turn to, and yes, we're going to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I was thinking today. Sometimes I just take for granted that everybody knows this. And yes, you know the concept there and everything. But it's like this.
Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Well, yeah, it does. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17.
You see, and just because I know, sometimes I think, well, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Everybody knows it, so I just quote it. Well, I'm learning that just because I know it doesn't mean you know it. You may know the principle of it. You may know the verse. But where it's found and so forth. Therefore, well, what's he saying? Look at verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. When did you know Christ? In the flesh. That's when you knew Christ. That's when you come to know him. Yet now henceforth, now know we him no more. You see,
we don't know this fleshly man no more. Therefore,
if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away.
Well, you know what I like to ask myself there? Have they? Have they? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Well, have they? You see? Well, what's he talking about? Well, yeah, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That inward man, he's a new creature. Inwardly. And because he's a new creature, my life ought to manifest that all the old things, the former things that we're not to remember, the things of old that we're not to consider, are to be gone. And we're to put on new things. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Did you get that? A new creature. We're to be a new creature, not just inwardly, but outwardly as well. So that when I look at myself, consider myself, I see a new man. I see the Lord's power and working upon me to make me a new creature. And when I look at you, I see a new man. I see the Lord's power and working on you to make you new. And like I like to say, is because I'm still upright, He's still working on me. Because you're still upright, brother. It doesn't matter your age. He's still working on you. So, praise God. Amen. He's not done yet. One more for consideration. We'll be looking at this next week on Sunday morning, Lord willing. And that is, the Lord willing, we will be. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. And you know what this is surrounding from this morning's message. But verse 33 said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. We got a problem. You got a problem when I say I'm a good tree. And you see corrupt fruit. I got a problem when you say you're a good tree, but I see corrupt fruit. You see, it don't go. The two don't go together, does it? No. Works of the flesh don't go with the new man. It's contrary. Fruit of the new man produces good fruit. You see, that fruit of the fleshly man, the natural man, well, that's what I produced in my old way of life before Christ Jesus came and healed me. Now I'm to be bearing good fruit. You're to be bearing good fruit to His honor and glory and praise. At the time of our salvation, we put off some things. Previous verse. Because they were no longer natural to us. Remember that? Oh, we hated them. We hated the sins of the flesh. I mean, I remember the day of salvation, and boy, I hated my sin. I saw it as God saw it, sees it. And it was terrible. It was horrible. We need to live every day in the remembrance of that. How horrible and how terrible it is. Sin is to be hated. And we put off those things. Now we're to put on something in their place. We're to put on the things that are pleasing to God. We're to put on, well, as our verse says, righteousness and true holiness. You see, the putting off of the old man is accomplished by the Holy Spirit, causing us to despise sin and feel ashamed because way of saying the name of Jesus, because it's against Christ. It's against God. We now have a heart for God. We love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. He did so great things for me. And sin is contrary to sin. Sin is against Him.
We hate it.
It's putting off of the old and putting on the new are inseparably connected. You can't separate. It is just automatic. We put off the old and put on the new. We don't have the new and continue on in the old.
That's a life that's full of question marks. That's a life that's not manifesting the Spirit of Christ in them.
That is as Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And a lot of people like to stop right there and, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, yes, I love Jesus. I'm looking for His coming. He's just so wonderful.
But it doesn't stop there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're following the Spirit of God. They're following His leading. Let me ask you something. Does the Spirit of God lead you into sin? Well, no. Going back to this morning's message and what we'll finish up with next week. No, that's opposed. Satan's opposed to Christ. Christ is opposed to Satan. In fact, Christ defeated Satan on the cross. When He rose again, you see.
We have been created after God by His power, according to His mind, according to His will, and after His image, in His likeness. Just let you stop and think about that a minute. In His likeness. Well, what's that? Righteousness and holiness. All that He does is righteous. All that He does is holy. His works are holy. Well, we're to be created after Him. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah one more time. Chapter 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Yeah? How much? My soul shall be joyful in my God. Here's why. Isaiah says that. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We're clothed with the garments of salvation, with a robe of righteousness, as a bride adorneth herself, a decketh herself with jewels. What jewels are we decking? Are we adorning ourselves with? Righteousness and true holiness. That's what our garments are. That's what they're to be. That's what we're to be adorning ourselves with and decking ourselves, those precious jewels. Righteousness and holiness. That's what is beautiful in the sight of God. That is what is a sweet savor unto Him. By His power, we have a new heart. We have new eyes to see with. We have new ears to hear with. We have new hands to work with. We have new feet to walk with. Praise God. We're new. Well, what are we like? Well, turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 13. In verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of. Don't provide for the flesh. Don't make room for the flesh to fulfill the lust of. Put on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't do any better than studying the life of Jesus Christ. And I hope as we've been studying Jesus Christ through Matthew, that you've been able to see His righteousness and His holiness.
Is meekness righteousness? It's not a work of man. It's not a work of man. Man's full of lying lips and a proud heart. That's what man is full of. Yeah.
I've learned of Jesus. If you're going to put Him on, you got to learn of Him. And He is meek and lowly. Oh, and that's not a way of man either.
Oh, there are some men who are more lowly than other men, but still they're given to pride. They'll get angry at you for crossing them. It may take a little more with them than with me, but they'll get angry with you. That pride will show itself.
Jesus said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Romans 13:14 tells us, put on Jesus Christ and not to make provision for the flesh. That's me and that's you. I'm not to make provision for the flesh. I'm to put on Jesus Christ. You're not to make provision for the flesh. You're to put on Jesus Christ. Turn with me, book of Galatians, in chapter 3. In Galatians, we see it like this, in verse 27 of the third chapter. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's what you said in baptism. That's what you said in the waters of baptism and being baptized into Christ. You said you've put on Christ. And furthermore, when you were brought up out of that water, you said it was to resurrect unto newness of life. What's that unto newness of life mean? It means unto a new way of life.
In other words, from the day of my salvation on, you ought to expected to see a new man. From the day of your salvation on, they ought to expected to see a new man. Now let me tell you about that seeing the life of an individual saved. And the best way I can liken it, and hopefully it's been so in my life, people have been able to see it. You know, I grew up in my father's home. That is the best example I can give you. And I always knew my dad to be a professor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and always took his family to church. I mean, that wasn't an option. You went to church. And you went to church in accordance with the light that the Holy Spirit had given him. And it took you, and as the Holy Spirit gave him more and gave him more strength and stamina, well, they separated from that church and got in and started a work under the authority of a New Testament Baptist church. But my dad wasn't a perfect man. I can tell you some things about growing up in my dad's home. But you know what? As I look back on my dad's life, and I've done this for years, as I look on my dad's life, I could see a change from year to year. God making him to what he wanted to be. What am I saying? I'm saying that at the time of my dad's death, he's not the same man he was when I was growing up in his home. You see? And there was a progression. And hopefully my children and people have been able to see that in my life since the day of my salvation. Yes, I wasn't changed completely immediately, but there was a desire there and a working there and a progression and a progression. And he's still working on me, as we said earlier. I'm upright, still upright, and as long as I'm upright, I have the assurance he's going to continue this work up on me. So, to put on the new man is to walk in all our behavior agreeably to the new man, putting off the former behavior, the former manner of life of the past life. Putting it off. Paul used the word crucify it. Beat this body under subjection. Beat it till it's black and blue. In other words, you don't allow him to come creeping out. You subdue. Listen. It takes the power of God. But where are you going to find the power of God to do that? Right here. Right here in his book. Right here. When the doors are open to do it. You see? Put off the former behavior of the past life. Why do I want to do that? Why should you want to do that? Galatians chapter 5. Because this is what he says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath. You see, if somebody's gotten hung up on adultery and fornication, well, you better look at that wrath. You better look at that strife. You better look at seditions and heresies. Envyings. They're just as much a part of the work of the flesh as adultery and fornication. And hatred. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That they that do those things, that is their life. They spend their life feeding on the desires and passions of the flesh. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 6. Keep your finger there in Galatians. We'll be back. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin? That's what we said.
That's what we said when we made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we said when we entered the waters of baptism. That we were dead to sin and alive unto God. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We're to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk in righteousness and holiness. Well, what is that? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah. Romans 8:1. Being led by the Spirit of God. Not walking after the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such as no. Let me ask you, what we've seen concerning Jesus Christ thus far in the book of Matthew, have you seen that in Jesus Christ? Have you seen love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Yes, we've seen God manifested in the flesh, having His Spirit under control. We've seen Him exhibiting love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. We've seen all that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You see, because we're yet in this flesh, and this flesh likes these things that were mentioned in the works of the flesh back there in those verses, we have to constantly crucify it. We have to constantly put it to death. We have to constantly put it behind us. But we that are Christ do that. We crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 2 Peter, book of 2 Peter, in chapter 1, in verse 4, whereby are given unto us, the saved, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what we're concerned about today. That's what we're concerned about, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, being partakers of that divine nature, that nature which is of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped that former manner of life, that past manner of life. That's behind us. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't even want to consider its ways and works anymore. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make you so you're not unfruitful in Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll be a good tree bringing forth good fruit. Amen. Which is pleasing unto Him, glorifying unto Him. Remembering that we are, as Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath been before ordained that we should walk in them. Chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Is there any question that we ought to be putting on righteousness and holiness? That's what he's chosen us in him for, is that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Well, that concludes verse 24 for today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go on with verse 25. Now, I'm getting down to some... I mean, I think he's been talking pretty turkey with us already, right? Been getting right down to the nitty-gritty already. Well, he's just going to continue it. Speaking the truth. Oh, we don't have no lying Christians, right? Shall we stand?